Well, today we're going to give you a little insight into what it's like to be on the precipice of choosing your embryos when you're going through the embryo adoption process. I'm Mark Mellinger, Marketing and Development Director of the National Embryo Donation Center, and this is the Embryo Adoption Podcast. You can find out more about us, the NEDC, by going to embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. And my guests today are Kat and Ray Gady from Rockford, Illinois. Guys, it's so good to have you here, and it's an exciting time in your journey. We're going to talk about that. But first, I want to go back a little bit. Give me an overview of your fertility journey. I know there were a lot of starts and stops on adoption, so there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, long journey. Hi, Mark. Thanks, by the way, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Do you want me to start?
Yes, you will start.
Okay.
Yes.
So we found out in about 2016. I was diagnosed with premature ovarian failure, and then with that, diminished ovarian reserve. And so it was pretty devastating when we initially got that news, because typically that would be like a genetic thing, and that's certainly is not the case in my family.
Right.
And so it really took us quite a long time to get past all of the, fertility, being faced with all of the fertility issues that we were going to continue having, essentially. And we really tried a lot of different things. After that, we were determined we're not going to give up. And we tried acupuncture and Chinese medicine. But ultimately, we had never been offered the option to do IVF or IUI or anything like that because, in their mind, there's no
Yeah,
eggs.
we didn't have any eggs, so that wasn't even a chance for us to go down that road. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So finally, a couple years after that, we got to the point where we were able to start considering other options. And I think that that's definitely a journey. You don't just jump from getting this devastating information about your chances to have a child and then go right to adoption. At least we could not.
No, and we also too, we both knew, like, because we could have done like an egg donor scenario, and that option just wasn't for us. So that was kind of like our first next step after the bad news, was to, oh, that's our dog.
He's fine. Animals are
Yeah.
totally welcome on the podcast.
But yeah, that was our potential next step, and we both discussed it and just decided it wasn't for us. We didn't want, for me, it really wasn't the biggest deal to like make sure it was my sperm, and same with Kat. That wasn't top priority. We just wanted to start our family.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, adoption was the logical next step. Yeah.
Yep.
Were you guys just exhausted at this point, like before you came to the
Oh, yeah.
place of thinking adoption? Can you talk about what that was like?
Yeah, I mean, it was exhausting. I mean, it was.
You're constantly feeling beat down,
Yes.
and emotionally drained, all that stuff. So to even talk about another option, it's just not even fun,
Yeah.
because you're completely beaten down, and it's like, someone telling you can't have what you want to have and what everyone else has.
And it's so confusing, and it's something that, I constantly was just questioning, like, what did I do wrong? Why
Trying to
can't
figure out
I?
why.
And on top of that, there was the whole physical side where I was on so many supplements and, just trying anything. Like, we just threw everything at it. Like, does anything work for us? And we just were not getting the results we wanted. And so we decided we're gonna just stop all of it. And we kind of gave it a little while, and then we finally decided we're gonna do infant adoption. And we were ready. And then we moved, we were in Wisconsin, and we moved back to Illinois to be with our family. So for that purpose.
Okay, so talk with me about the infant adoption route then, where your journey took off from there.
Yeah.
So we explored, so adoption, traditional adoption is a lot of money. And one option that, we considered was foster care. And so we actually went to some sort of like intro class. Again, found out that wasn't for us, at least not for our first child. You know, we really wanted to make sure that we could have a baby. And so that was the way that we started to go. So then we started signing up, getting ready to do our home study, getting all that stuff in order, all that. And then kind of in the process, was it in the process of our home study? Yeah, sort of in the process of our home study, Kat's aunt, actually, was it your aunt?
Yeah, well, actually, before that happened, we put our initial home study on hold. Because we had a lot of really significant life events happen. We both lost our dads. Ray was deployed overseas. And so we just had a lot of stuff happening, and we knew we needed to just put everything on hold because we did not have the capacity to handle the adoption process. We knew it was going to require a lot from us. So actually we put it on hold for a couple of years. And then last year, beginning of the year, we were like, okay, we're ready to go. We're going to start this again. We did reach out to the social worker we'd been working with before. And then that's when one of my aunts actually reached out to me and asked if I had ever heard of embryo adoption.
And we're like, what?
I'm like, what?
There's another kind of adoption.
How have I never heard of this before?
Like,
Yeah. So that was, you know, a game changer for us, because immediately we went and looked at the link she sent, and it was back to the NEDC's website, and it was this video story all about it from a couple. And we were just almost overcome when we realized that that meant that I would be able to carry our adopted child. And it was an incredible moment.
I know that we've talked with you, Mark, about just feeling at peace about stuff. And I think the whole process, we never really had that peace. And then when we saw that video, it's like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, this is what God wants. So So it was kind of like an answer to prayer. And we just ended up deciding that that was it. And then, move forward and called you guys.
And it was great to have you here in Knoxville. And of course, you're going to be back in the not too distant future for your frozen embryo transfer. If you were preparing somebody for what the journey through the NEDC, if they choose to do embryo adoption through the NEDC, for what that journey is going to be like up until like the point where you are now, what would you want to say to them? Are there things that you wish you would have paid more attention to on the front end? That sort of thing.
Well, I think our biggest frustration was not with the NEDC at all. It was with our home study. And so I would say, regardless if you're going to go the frozen embryo adoption route or you're going to go traditional adoption, I would advise people to get started on your home study right away. Because we came and saw you guys in September, and we started our home study back up immediately after that. And it did not even get approved until February.
Yeah.
I think. And so
it's a long time.
It was, you know, it was just a lot of hurry up and wait. And it was very difficult because we kept thinking like, okay, we're going to get on this transfer and then we're going to get on this transfer. And like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. Just get that out of the way. Cause that's, that's probably the biggest hurdle. You know, it's just think, it's the hardest part of it, at least for us. So if you can knock that out first, then everything else is going to seem easy. So yeah, that would be the biggest thing. And just hammer it out as quick as you can.
And you guys have already said you didn't have any hangups about the child not being genetically yours. Of course, he or she will biologically be yours. It'll be your names on the birth certificate, and Kat will be gestating the child. So you know, there is that awesome connection in the womb. So that wasn't really a hang up for you guys at all. So now you're at the point where you're thinking, okay, it's time to select our embryos that we hope and pray become our children. What are your thoughts at this stage of the game, and how far down that have you gone in terms of actually looking at embryos that you could intend to pursue?
So we just started looking at different donor profiles. And, you know, originally I thought it would be extremely overwhelming for me because I'm such a perfectionist and I want to get everything right the first time.
Yeah.
And it's really been quite amazing, which is just more confirmation that this is the right journey for us, because even when we started looking at the profiles, I haven't had any stress or anxiety about it because I know that God has the right donors for our family. Mm-hmm. And so in that, it hasn't been stressful at all. It's just, we're just spending time reviewing them. And, you know, obviously we want to pray about it and make sure that we're picking the mm-hmm. right ones for us. That's my reaction anyway.
Yeah, so we've only been on there maybe an hour looking at profiles and things like that. But it's pretty cool because we, you know, we kind of want to select a donor who's similar to us, you know, husband and wife or egg and sperm donor who is similar to us. You know, we're both have a lot of German in our blood, so it's kind of nice, like you can see that all in the profile. And yeah. And like I'm pretty tall, so I can see, you know, if we have a donor that's, you know, 5'2" or something like that, well then, you know, there's probably no chance that he's gonna come out close to my height. So I mean, not that we're biased, but I'm just saying.
It's okay. I've been a little squirt my whole life. You're not going to say anything that's going to offend me. Yeah, and I'm 5'7". My son, who's my biological son, is 6 feet. So it can happen. You know, it does happen. But you're not going to offend me with any short guy references. So don't worry about it. I totally get what you're saying. That's how most people want to do it. They want to have somebody who has, you know, not only ethnicity, but demographic commonalities, a history that's going to fit well in their family. And and if you have an open relationship with the donors, then you want to make sure that they are going to be a good fit for your family's life. Exactly. Can you talk about the importance of that and how your thinking on the whole open versus closed decision has changed over the months?
Yeah. So we have always thought that we were going to do an anonymous adoption. And when we were thinking traditional adoption, we thought we would do like a semi-open, you know, because we know it can kind of grow from there. But with embryo adoption, we were always like, no, we're going to do anonymous. Mm. And, but that constantly would nag at me. Every time we talk about it, there's just a little nag. And I would think, are we sure this is the right decision? And
she'd ask me like every day.
I would ask him all the time.
Are you sure?
And then we started, you know, we've done a lot of training even before we did the NEDC training. We did a lot of embryo adoption webinars with our traditional home study, actually, because they knew we were doing embryo adoption. And so we would see a lot about the open relationship. And I always loved it, but I just always like, no, we're going to do it anonymous. That's what we decided. Mm. And I really don't know what happened, except all I can say is that God completely changed my heart about it and showed me that really for me at the root of that was an insecurity about me being mom. You know, if we have an open relationship, then I'm not really ma. And it's just, it's my own issue. And really to be able to give that gift to our child, to have this built-in extended family for them was an amazing thought. And we also, some of the videos that we watched through the NEDC training was, it really just kind of sealed the deal for us that this is the right journey for us. And it was so funny because in all of the waiting with our home study, it took forever. And we were like, what is going on? I just want to get on a schedule.
All of our stuff was done. But we were waiting on them.
Yeah. And it's so funny because now that we made that switch, it actually makes sense because there's a whole other mediation process. Yeah. And now it's like, okay, well now it's fine because we haven't got on the schedule and now we're completely changing what we do. So I just think that's just totally a God thing that he wanted to make sure we were on the right path and do right by our future child.
Yeah.
And Ray, you totally agree with all that?
Yeah, I really, honestly, I didn't have an opinion either way going forward, you know, because I mean, there's anonymous donors and open donors that both, you know, have kids that need a chance at life. So I kind of viewed it that way. I'm like, you know, either way, it's going to be awesome. So I didn't have the insecurity thinking about, you know, I'm going to have to share, like, they're not going to look at me as dad, or they're going to look at the other one as dad. I really didn't have any of that, but, you know, I didn't want, you know, her to be uncomfortable or anything like that. But it was really cool because those videos in the training, their testimonies, it's like every, and it was probably mostly the women, but they all had the same feeling. I mean, yep. It's like everyone had that same sort of insecurity. And, yeah. And it's weird because you're already so protective of your kid that you don't even know exists yet, you know? So it was kind of cool, and it was a good spot. You know, a lot of growth happened throughout this whole process. And it feels like the right thing now to do the open adoption for sure.
Yeah.
And it'll take, just if you're listening out there and you go through the NEDC process, it'll take an additional, on average, 4 to 6 weeks to have an open adoption, because you have to work out what's called an open donation agreement, which is, you know, basically the two sides, the donors and the adopters, sign off on each other, as it were. And you do that over a period of weeks, going back and forth, each side separately, over the phone with a social worker who serves as a mediator. So it does take more time. There's no doubt about that, but it can create really beautiful relationships too. And obviously, you know, God brought you guys a piece about it. And that's much more important than that 4 to 6 weeks. That's not going to be anything in the larger scale of things. So let me end it here before we go. I love having you guys on, because you're not only just a faith-filled couple and a sensible couple, but a very fun couple. It's clear to me, you know, through all you've been through, the, you know, the physical problems that, of course, are not your fault, and you know, the other starts and stops and the whole process of whether we're going to have kids and how are we going to have kids and raise deployment overseas. And we thank you for your service, man. No doubt about that. But I mean, all this, you know, and you guys still seem like your marriage is really, really strong. To what do you attribute that, if you had to pick a core aspect or two that has kept you guys more, I not just solidly bonded together, but probably more solidly now that you've been through all this?
I don't think I've ever been asked that before. You go first.
Well, I would just say that we are, at our core, we are friends. Mm-hmm. We champion each other and we respect each other, and it's not just love for us, it's love and friendship. And so, you know, it's like, pick the right person, you're gonna be with them forever. I never thought I would meet somebody that I would want to be with all the time as much as I am, but you know, we just love hanging out with each other. We're genuinely just really good friends, and we have such respect and trust in each other. I think that's what it is for me.
Yeah. And I think the other, obviously, you know, choosing the right person is huge. And faith has been, I would say, 90% of that. But the other thing too is a lot of this forces you to kind of realize that you can, you can't control your circumstance, but you can control your perspective. Yeah. And so, yeah, if we can look at the stuff that we have going on wrong, well, let's focus on what we have going right instead.
Yeah.
And celebrate that.
You know, we wanted to have kids early on in our marriage because we were both almost 30 when we got married. So mm-hmm. We were, you know, wanted to get going with having kids. And I'm so glad, even though it's been a really difficult journey a lot of the time, I'm still really glad that we haven't had kids yet, because we have such a solid marriage, and our friendship is even deeper now versus, you know, a lot of people, they get pregnant right away and then, you know, all their focus goes to the kids. So we haven't had that. So in that way, we're actually very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a great note on which to end this conversation, other than for me to say, yeah, you guys are terrific, except for I do think we need to get you into some sort of a conversion therapy since you are Green Bay Packers fans, and I'm a Chicago Bears fan, so you know, we do have that little thing to work out. But other than that, a great couple. We love them, and we are so glad that you are coming through the doors of the NEDC, and obviously praying that God gives you a great expanded family through this work. So thank you guys so much. Again, if you want to find out more about the NEDC, it's embryodonation.org, embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this is the Embryo Adoption Podcast.